Chris Hoke, brought to you by McVeigh Heating and Plumbing. He's joining us on a Wednesday, which is a treat for us. He's on the phone line. He'll be with me all hour. A two-time Super Bowl champion. Hokie, I don't know if you were on the line. Did you hear the general, Jeff Patton, from the baseball card castle in Cranberry? We have a contest for cards every week, and one of the cards this week is a Chris Hoke card. How about that?
Hey, how about that, man? I'll tell you what, I think in my whole career I might have three football cards, but three more than most people have, right? So
yes.
What a blessing, you know, and it's, a lot of those are surrounding those Super Bowl teams I was a part of. It's exciting.
It's awesome. All right, let's get to the situation here. Breaking news. The Chiefs traded for DeAndre Hopkins today. I want to know what you make of that and what you make of the Steelers in the market, apparently, for Cooper Kupp.
I don't know. I mean, listen, DeAndre Hopkins, he could have helped us. I still want to see what we have. I think with Russell Wilson, how we saw him throwing the ball and distributing it to all the receivers, it seemed like everybody was in on the game and in on the fun on Sunday night. But with that pick, I just think Cooper Kupp, okay, yeah, he's a little older. Is he really going to improve our passing game that much? And I don't know if he really will.
Can you expound on that a little more? He's been hurt. He's 31, but in the opener, he looked like vintage Cooper Kupp, 14 catches on 21 targets, and it seems like I don't know that you'll find a better route runner, so why don't you think he would help that much?
Well, we just don't know really yet what all we have. I mean, you saw the passing game, even with Russ Wilson kind of breaking off the rust and having a rough first half. I mean, he threw for 264 yards. I still think we have some guys. Either Freiermuth can get more involved in the game. And we have, you know, Van Jefferson. You saw some balls that were thrown to Calvin Austin that, you know, I think weeks coming up, you'll see him more involved. Balls that were thrown in the dirt, balls early that could have gone in for some good yardage. And so with Cooper Kupp coming in here, I mean, there's only so many footballs, right? And I think that sometimes when you trade for another guy, an older guy who's been injured, I mean, look at Ayuk. You know, we would have brought him in, tore ACL, and that could have been different if he come in here. But, you know, things happen. You have young guys that, you know, stunt their development. And I just think that right now, unless you're going to bring in a guy who's an elite receiver like the guy we've talked about in the past or DeAndre Hopkins, I would rather just stay pat.
So you would rank Hopkins over Kupp at this point in their careers?
I mean, listen. That's going off this. I haven't really dove into this. You're pressing me hard on this, brother, which I love. But the reality is, to me, my feeling is DeAndre Hopkins. You're asking about guys that I just truly don't follow to the T. You know what I'm saying?
No,
but
I hear you.
The reality is, to me, DeAndre Hopkins is a better receiver than a Cooper Kupp. If you look at overall, and so I just think, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, Starkey, that I think we need to. That really focus on developing these guys. Cause I think we do have some talent in that locker room, and people are going to disagree with me. That's fine. But I think with Russell Wilson and the way he threw the ball in the second half and how he's going to be being better this week coming up against the Giants, I believe, let's see what we got. And it's not always better to trade for someone when you got a lot of talent in that room that just has not been tapped.
Well, the deadline's not till November 5th. So yes, we can see how Cooper Kupp moves around coming off an high ankle in the game tomorrow night. And then, yeah, we can see about some of these other receivers with the Steelers. I mean, I wish we could get a look at Roman Wilson, but Tomlin doesn't exactly sound high on the kid. And then, you know, then who else behind Pickens are we that interested in? Maybe Van Jefferson, I guess, but he's a veteran. Who are the young guys that we're really looking at behind Pickens? That's just one spot, Hokie, that I wonder about moving forward. And I think it's also worth while to point out that the Jets had some significant injuries in their back end. The Steelers are going to face some better secondaries.
They did. And that's the thing, too. We got to temper the excitement. But listen, the balls that were thrown, I mean, Calvin, I said this earlier, Calvin Austin was open several times in the first half, and he missed them. Two plays in a row in that second quarter where Calvin Austin was wide open and he threw the ball in the dirt or very too low to catch. And so those will be better. And so I think that Calvin Austin can become a big-time, you know, contributor. Big-time. I mean, a solid contributor to this offense when the balls are being better thrown to him, as I believe we'll see. And then Roman Wilson, what's he got? I mean, they were high on him. Coach Thomas talked about just missing that training camp, right? That's a lot for a rookie. And then coming in and the speed of the game and understanding, and there's a lot to be said there. But I don't think the cupboard's bare. I mean, listen, we've studied a lot of film over the last 7 weeks. Talk about cupboard bare. There's a lot of teams that would love to have the wide receiving core that the Steelers have. I mean, there's a lot of teams that have a below-the-line type receiving core. So I'd like to see, you know, what's out there. What are we going to give up? And I think Omar's doing a great job, Omar Khan. We're not going to sell the farm for a receiver at this point. And so I think right now it's a methodical approach. Let's continue to develop our guys, like you said. And then if something pops up and makes sense, I'll take it.
Chris Hoke on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline. October is Fire Prevention Month. The Fan and the National Fire Sprinkler Association remind you to test your smoke alarms monthly. Yeah, Austin, I overlooked him. He is the young guy that you want to develop. But let's talk about the quarterbacks. Let's talk about Russell Wilson. Were you surprised by his performance? How would you rate his performance, Hokie?
I don't know about surprise. I was uncertain about how he would come out and play, right? I mean, we talked about this last week, and I said this. I think he was going to come out and be rusty. He was going to take some time. When I watched him last week practice, last Wednesday, when I saw him get into that huddle, there was a different feeling in that offensive huddle in practice than it was the weeks before, right? It just, the way that he ran the huddle, the way that he went about his business, the professionalism, the attention to detail, the sharpness, he exuded confidence. I talked about this last week. And you saw that in the game, even when he had some bad throws early in the game and things weren't going his way. I mean, there were some bad throws, let's be honest. And it didn't look great, the offense. He continued to take the huddle. I mean, you go back and you watch the film, you watch him, the version from the TV, and he, on his face, looks unflappable. And this is a guy who has a lot of confidence. He's played a lot of great football, and he's played some bad football. So he doesn't get too high with the high or too low with the lows. And I thought that he came out and was able to shake off that rust and overcome some of the boos that were in the stadium and put together a solid second half of this game and gave us a lot to be excited about for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I was worried early in the game, but he settled in, Hokie, for sure. And here's what I wanted to ask you. And I think we've probably talked about this before in recent years, but it feels like his ability to get them into the right play, his freedom to audible, knowing where he wants to go with the football. How much of these games are won by what happens with adjustments, both offense and defense, in those precious seconds right before the snap?
It's huge. Listen, when you have a veteran quarterback who's a been there, done that guy, who's seen, I mean, you talk about any kind of, Coach Thomas talks about situational football, circumstantial football, and he's seen every single situation, he's seen every single circumstance you can see over his long career. When you come up and he sees a certain shift, when he sees, I talked about this last week with Landon Roberts, when it's seeing a certain formation and a certain motion. Oh, I remember seeing this at one time, and Coach Flores telling me, this is what's going to happen. I can beeline for that ball and knock the ball out, the fumble, late in the game against the Cowboys, right? It's the same thing. Experience tells you a lot. So when you come to the line of scrimmage and you see some kind of shift, that the linebacker is moving, the DB's moving, you can say, aha, I've seen this before, right? There was a run in the game where Jaylen Warren, he cut back and went into the close to the goal line. I think it was like 11, 12-yard run, and he was able to point that out and see the soft spot, and there was some video evidence of that. I mean, there are points in this game where he comes up, and it becomes a battle of the mind. And when you have an extension of the coach on the field because of his ability to draw on a wealth of knowledge and experience over the years, that's a huge winning edge for the Steelers.
Hokie, you're obviously well-versed on what's happening in the interior of the line and how important that is to winning games. So I'd love to know what you thought of Ryan McCollum in his in his start in place of Zach Frazier, and also the nature of the challenge he has with 6'4", 340-pound Dexter Lawrence.
Oh, I thought McCollum played, you know, well. You know, every game you play in Starkey, when you play as many snaps as these guys play, right, 70-ish plays, you're going to have a handful of plays you wish you had back. Let's just be honest, right? Did he give up a huge play? I didn't see him giving up a huge play. He was only give up one sack, and that was to McDonald. He came off Broderick Jones off that right side. But I thought overall, largely, he played well. Coach Tomlin, when asked about him, I believe Tomlin said in his press conference on Tuesday, two thumbs up, right, yesterday. And so Coach Tomlin seeing, you know, is he a Zach Frazier? No, Zach Frazier to me is their best offensive lineman. And will be one of the best offensive centers in the NFL for a lot of years to come. But I think that he did a solid job in there, did a great job of holding down the center of the line of scrimmage for, largely. This week, Dexter Lawrence is a monster. I mean, this guy is powerful. He's physical. He's explosive. 9 sacks from the interior at this point of the season. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a historian of the game, but I'll tell you what. I don't know if many interior guys have had 9 sacks after 7 games. I mean, that's incredible. So he's got his hands full this week, and he's going to need some help. That's going to open up other opportunities for Burns and those guys to make some stuff. So they're going to have to figure out. They're going to pick their poison with this Burns and Dexter Lawrence.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. A bunch of issues from the game the other night, you know, mostly positive from how the game went. Najee is, I think, showing new dimensions to his game, Hokie. He's never had a game where he had 30 runs back-to-back weeks. What are you seeing?
Well, listen, he just looks, number one, he just looks like he's on a mission, right? And he looks quicker to me. I don't know what it is, but he looks shiftier and quicker to me. And he still has kept his tough run, angry run kind of mentality. And really, the epic run that kind of embodies all of his runs to this point and how well he's been running, especially the last two games, was that last touchdown run, that 10-yard touchdown run where there was penetration from the right side from a D lineman. He was able to jump to his left and accelerate through the B gap and score a touchdown. I mean, to me, that exemplified kind of his season to this point. And who he's become as a running back. I mean, that was a beautiful run. And these chunk runs that he's had and able to make DBs and linebackers make look silly at times, making a miss, running over them. I think he is becoming the kind of running back that they envisioned when they drafted him all those years ago.
How about Keanu Benton playing your old position? Was that the best he's played yet this season?
Yeah, he's tough. Listen, he's tough, I don't think he gets a lot of credit for – I mean, listen, can he continue to get better? Absolutely. With technique, you watch it. I know that he's come out of like that under the tutelage of Cam Hayward. You can see where he's kind of taking on some of the technique that Cam utilizes. But in terms of his quickness, his ability to get step one way, get on the edge of a center, bat down passes with that big body – He is a monster in the middle of that line of scrimmage, and I still see there's a lot of upside to him. He still has a lot of growth and development in front of him. And so that's exciting for the Steelers when you have a young guy who's in his second year who is playing and having this kind of impact on games, but still you can see he has so much growth ahead of him. This interior defensive line and the Steelers even at large, it's exciting to think of the potential of that.
PetFest 24, presented by Subaru, is back October 27th at Rockwell Park in the East End. The event runs from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Bring your four-legged friends to meet vendors, participate in costume contests, and get photos with Santa. Stop by any Subaru dealer for complimentary tickets. For more information, go to 937thefan.com. All right, Hokie, we continue our conversation with two-time Super Bowl champion Chris Hoke. What do the Giants, other than Dexter Lawrence and a decent defense, you know, what do they present offensively that causes you any concern whatsoever?
Well, if I have to dig deep, I think their rookie Malik Nabers he's going to be a really good receiver in the NFL. I think he's on the rise. You know, 39 catches for 427 yards after 7 games. I just think right now that this whole team is handicapped. They're just not playing good football. That's why they're 2-5. I mean, and it just really what happened last week against, you know, just getting whooped last week by the Eagles, and how it happened, 28-3, giving up 8 sacks, getting just annihilated in the run game. There's nothing really that scares me about this Giants team. I mean, you got to play the game, and they're professional football players. But when you ask me, what stands out to me? Nothing really, to be honest.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's sure the way it looks. All right, let's get to Danny Smith. That was a great scene after the Steelers got ripped off on their first block kick the other night by a bad call. Then they get one, and everybody goes crazy on the sidelines, and Danny Smith just in euphoria. He's a lot of fun to watch. So I want to ask you 2 questions about that. What you know about Danny Smith and the players' love for him, and then what is the key to all these block kicks?
Let me tell you something. So Danny Smith is beloved. I know Danny Smith really, really well. He's a great man. He's a firecracker. He is, again, just been in the NFL for so long, has a ton of experience, and he's seen so much. But these players on the Steelers team love Danny Smith. They love everything about him. The way that he coaches the players, the way that he prepares, the way that he relates to you, and then in the game, just his energy and enthusiasm, it's everything you want in a special teams coach, and these players are playing out of their minds for Danny Smith because of their love for him. And so I was there last week talking with him. He's just a great guy, and he gets it. Joe, he gets the game. He gets how to relate to players. What it takes, there's so many variables when it comes to special teams play. Being lined up right, being set up right, paying attention to detail, right? Understanding what a team's going to try to do to you. Danny helps the Steelers prepare for all the situations. And then there's on the other side, too, it's a lack of preparation for another team. Maybe they have a below-the-line coach, or, you know, it could be in terms of execution, a low kick. It could be just a focus, just whatever it is, Joe. The reality is that Danny Smith is so much far above other coaches and federal teams in the NFL. That's why you're seeing the success, and the Steelers buying into that is why you're seeing so many blocked kicks. You're seeing so many strategic advantages in these games. It's exciting to watch.
Hokie, forgive me for not knowing the answer to this question. Did you have a block kick or two in your career?
No, I haven't. Listen, I'm a 6'2" guy. You look at the guys that are blocking these kicks, these guys are like Goliath out there. I mean, Loudermouth a couple weeks ago, and then you have, you know, then this week you have Dean Lowry getting those pods up. You have Cam Hayward doing them in the past. Then you have the quick guys coming off the edge, right? The junk call that took away the big block by Minka. It's just these tall guys get their paws up and get in the way of these kicks.
By the way, that was a horrible call. New York said as much to Tomlin, admitting it after the game. I think it would be fun if guys were allowed to do that. Yeah, you're allowed to catapult yourself over the line and use other players as leverage. What's the point of that rule? Why can't you do that?
Well, if I try to put my thinking cap on and think, okay, why? I mean, I think it's a garbage call. There's no question about it. But I think what happens is you have the offensive. I've been a guy who's been on that offensive line. I've been one of the edge guys to get down. You got to lean down, because if you don't get down and get low like they do right now, kind of taking a step in and leaning against the hip of the guy inside of you, those D linemen are so low, they're going to get underneath you and blow you up. And so if you can't get low, I mean, if you have to get low to stop those guys, then how do you also get high to get to the guys that are jumping high? So it's a really big disadvantage for these guys. And so I can see them not letting them use them as a body, because they have to get low to get underneath these D linemen that are rooting them out. And so to me, in that place, Minka did not use them to catapult himself, to leverage himself. He was jumping over. It's more like putting his hands down, and he barely even touched the backs of those linemen. It was just to kind of keep balance as he was coming down. And I think it was just the wrong use of that call, that penalty.
I thought the call on Ogunjobi early in the game stunk. You can't hear the. First of all, you couldn't hear any of the whistles. Second of all, it didn't look that egregious to me. Do you agree or disagree?
Well, here's where I will tell you what I think. it wasn't consistent across the game. There were two other times in the game where, you know, where the Jets threw down a Najee Harris, or threw down a receiver, I think it was George Pickens, threw him down after the whistle, and there was no flag. So if you're going to make that call with Ogunjobi early, be consistent throughout the game, or don't make that call on Ogunjobi. That's where I have beef, right? Be consistent with how you're going to call something, or don't call it at all.
One more on the special teams, because there have been years where the Steelers are a little bit leaky in some areas of special teams. This year, by every measurement, they're the best or one of the best special teams in the league. They've been downright violent in kick coverage. I mean, they're crushing people. What is the mentality of a good special teams player? I remember guys like Kiesel and Hines early in their careers were just ferocious covering kicks.
Just putting the right guys out there. And that's what Danny Smith does. I mean, Danny Smith is, again, been at this a long time. He understands what they need. And I, you know, I've talked with Danny, and he knows what kind of guys need to be out there to be successful in this new way of kickoffs. And he, you know, you don't put out you try not to put a receiver out there. Those guys aren't nasty. You've got to be nasty. You get on a block, get off a block, get to the kick returner and take him down. You've got to have more of that physical specimen type. If you can have a D lineman, if you can have a linebacker, if you can have some of those guys, or like a Connor Hayward, who's a guy who's a do-it-all kind of guy, those are the kind of guys that you want out there in the way that they're doing the kickoffs now. So it's understanding the personnel, how to set them up, and then having the ability to think outside the box on how to defeat blocks, how to take away angles, and then put a hat. Again, the kind of guys you put out there, putting a hat on these guys. And these guys are playing with a purpose. And they're playing with a nasty attitude. And it all comes with Danny Smith.
Chris Hoke on the hotline right now, joining me until the top of the hour. All right, let's go back to the defense for a moment. What did the Jets do to take away T.J. Watt? And they did, as much as any team ever does. And what does that open up for other people, like Alex Highsmith?
Well, and I thought Alex Highsmith, you know, listen, Alex Highsmith is elite in terms of run defense, and his pass rush is top notch. It's high level. You know, you'd always want to see Alex Highsmith getting more sacks. This game, he had a lot of pressures on the quarterback. He hit Rodgers a lot. And I think that's because they're putting a lot of focus on stopping TJ Watt. And what they're doing, a lot of what everybody else has been doing, right? They're putting an extra tight end out. They're putting them wide, and then they're chipping them with the tight end, and then the tackle's there waiting for him. So he's got to defeat two blocks. And Aaron Rodgers is getting the ball out so quickly, which opens up other opportunities for batted passes and get the hands up with these big defensive linemen. And that's what teams are going to do. And here's the thing about T.J. Watt, Joe. T.J. Watt, he didn't have the big play in this game, but what he has the ability to do is he keeps coming. I was at the game. They were chipping him. I saw a couple times where he got lit up by a bat coming out of the backfield and chipping him. And he on time got flipped around, foot knocked on his back when he was rushing. And T.J. Watt just got up and went back to the huddle. Didn't say a word. Didn't look at anybody. Just got up in the huddle. Then he comes back the next play, and the tackle literally tackles him to the ground. No flag. T.J. Watt gets up, goes back to the huddle, doesn't even say a word. This guy is just a machine. He just keeps coming because he knows that in a game, if he plays 65 snaps and he gets blocked 60 times because of the strategic and schematic way of blocking him, he comes in five plays and he has a tackle for a loss. He causes a fumble. He gets a sack. He's in the MVP conversation. Those are big-time plays.
Yeah.
And so he's just going to keep coming. He gets it. He's going to keep coming. And when he comes and they don't chip him or they leave him one-on-one on an island, that's when he's going to seize the opportunity to make a big play for the Steelers.
Man, it's nice when you're – I know there's offensive line injuries, but defensively, when you've got your guys for the most part and Cam's playing at a high level, can picture this team doing something, Hokie. So let me ask you, where do you put them right now in the AFC? And specifically, I guess, start with the division. Do you rate the Ravens still higher than them? Where are the Steelers in the division and the conference, in your opinion?
Well, let me tell you something. I dislike the Ravens as much as anybody, right? I've had so many big-time games against them. I've lost big games against them. I've won big games against them. But I also understand the makeup of that organization. very, very similar to the makeup of the Pittsburgh Steelers and how they want to go about their business and how they want to attack teams offensively and defensively. I've thought a lot about this. They're a scary team. Let's just be honest. With Lamar Jackson, through five tutties on Monday night, five touchdowns, no interceptions, right? Then you have this dual threat because you don't know, is Lamar Jackson going to keep the ball? Is Derrick Henry going to get it? And so it's the indecision that allows, you know, Derrick Henry to go for 169 yards, 11.27 yards a carry, okay? I mean, and so Derrick Henry's gotten his mojo back. This team looks scary defensively. They went in and they did a great job in Tampa against the 4-2 Buccaneers team, who everybody talked about Baker Mayfield playing lights out, and a good team. To me, I think the Steelers, it's 1A, 1A, 1. I get 1A, 1B, and it's right there. And to me, I don't know who's the better of the teams, but these two teams right now, they're on a collision course for their game coming up in the second half of the season.
All right, Hokie, give us a prediction, the exact final score, and the player of the game, if you'd be so kind.
I love that. The exact final score, right? I just think that the New York Giants are at a disadvantage in this game. They don't have the personnel. I think that their offensive line, they're playing with backup tackle, which really hurt them last week in the pass rush of the Eagles. Again, getting 8 sacks last week. I still think that, you know, if you're going to try to double team T.J. Watt and take him out of the game, Alex Highsmith showed me a lot last week about his get off. He looked much quicker off the ball. So I think the Steelers defense is going to get after these Giants. I mean, the Giants are 32nd in the NFL in terms of giving up run yardage per play in the NFL. The Steelers defense, their rushing offense is on the rise the last 2 weeks, particularly. So I think this is going to be a Steelers just continue to building confidence in this game. I see the Steelers winning this game, taking advantages of the weaknesses of the Giants. And I see the Steelers winning this game. I think it'll be another comfortable win for the Steelers. I hate saying that, but I think the Steelers are going to win this game by, I would say, a 24-14 game.
The Steelers have not scored 30 points in 3 straight games, Hokie, since 2015. You were practically still around then. That's an unbelievable stat, isn't it?
It is an unbelievable stat. And everybody's excited because I think what we saw last week, it's exciting to see what happened in the second half, the way that Russell Wilson was throwing the football. I don't think everybody can say, oh, I told you so, blah, blah, blah. But the reality is everybody was nervous. And Coach Tomlin, like he said, he was a lone ranger. He made that decision. There were a lot of people in and out of that building on the south side that wanted Justin Fields to stay in. He knew what he had. And the reality was you saw the balls thrown. The balls that were thrown, he put balls in positions where only Steeler receivers could catch the ball. And so that's why I kind of gave him a pass a little bit on some of those balls that were in the dirt. Because sometimes if you watch the balls that he connected on, when he's rolling out, he throws the ball low. He puts the ball in places where only his players can catch the ball. And that's something that caught my eye. And that's what keeps the ball out of the defender's hands and helps you score points. So I can see the Steelers put up a lot of points in the second half of the season.
Hokie, you're one of the nicest men who has ever lived. Thanks for coming on a Wednesday.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
See you, buddy.
See you, brother.
That's Chris Hoke. Great stuff, as always. 50-minute mark on the Fan. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Some interesting news this week, potential news out of Cleveland yet again, regarding a certain star player for the Browns. I'll tell you about that at the top of the hour. Then we have the big boy, Marcus Cabali, at 12:30 of the Pat McAfee Show. Never shy with an opinion, is he, Limits?
Not once.
Including that. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevrolet, Washington Road, McMurray, or at sunchevy.com. High 75 today with sunny skies. I still think that an undersold story is the leadership over there at the Steelers regarding veteran players with Pickens. I really do believe Todd, when he called the PM team, I think this happened. I think that veteran leaders on the Steelers followed Todd's advice. I really think this happened, Limits. Remember when Todd called the PM guys a few weeks ago and offered this?
Does anybody anymore in a locker room, like, you know, TJ or Cam, come up to him and say, hey, what are you doing?
I can't get enough of that. Can you?
Must have happened, Joe. Something must have happened.
Can you just get the last part when he says, hey, what are you doing? Because I think that could translate over a number of different topics. I really
What are you
do.
Doing?